Good evening and God's peace. May you all have a blessed Good Friday. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a few different texts for this Good Friday evening. Looking at church calendar, there was the main text was the gospel text, which was two chapters long, the 18th and 19th chapter of John. I chose to just use part of it to begin with, and then maybe we can go back through some of it. But it pretty much speaks for itself, this scripture. So I'll try not to add too much to it, but listen to the words as God speaks to us this evening. So I chose for our text the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 16th verse. So that's John 19, beginning with the 16th verse through the 30th. And we read in Jesus' name as follows. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lot for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessels full of vinegar, and they were filled. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. As Clark read from Isaiah, so many years ago, Isaiah prophesied pretty much what would happen to Jesus. but they did not see it at that time. We see how the religious leaders had wanted to crucify Jesus, to put him to death. I thought I'd kind of go through this Holy Week where we've been. Last Sunday, of course, was the beginning of Holy Week, which was Palm Sunday, where we spoke of how Jesus had entered into Jerusalem, a triumphal entry, how that they had laid the palm branches and their clothes on the road leading to Jerusalem, that Jesus would walk on there as a king entering into Jerusalem, and how it was that they sang as Jesus was going along, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." This was a praise that they gave Jesus just a short time earlier on Palm Sunday as he entered the city. So much different than it was on Good Friday, where they demanded that he be crucified. They cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." We have where Jesus, after he had entered the city, how he'd went in and cleansed the temple, how that he took and overturned the money changers' tables and drove them out that sold things in the temple. Then we know that he prepared a supper with his disciples, and how it was that he instituted the Lord's Supper there as we celebrate Monday, Thursday, which was last night. When he instituted that Lord's Supper, where he took the bread and broke it for his disciples and said unto them, "This is my body broken for you," and how he had took that cup and sup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood given for you." So we see that the night before this night, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And what did he do after the supper, or in the midst of the supper? It says that he wrapped himself with a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. That he showed that he was a servant, and he set an example for them, how that they would wash one another's feet, that they would serve one another in love. And that's what he would want for us even this evening. That is the example for us as Christians. And then we come on to this Good Friday, how it is, and we begin in the 18th chapter. If you want to read along, kind of we'll go through some of the things before our text here, but I don't have to add a whole lot because it speaks for itself what had happened on this day. It shows that Jesus had come to the garden, which is called in other places the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know how it is in other Gospels that he went to pray. And what did he pray? Three times he prayed that it would be, that if it was possible, that cup would be taken from him. That cup that he must drink for us. That bitter cup where he took our sins upon himself. But then he said that it would do according to the Father's will, not his will, but the Father's will. That he had come to do that which he did this Good Friday. That is the whole reason that he came to this earth. And it was God promised from the Garden of Eden that he would send Jesus. We see how it was that Judas was going to betray him, how that he had come to the garden there with soldiers and those officers of the chief priests. As the third verse says, in the 18th chapter, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backwards and fell to the ground. We see here how Jesus proclaimed that he was the Son of God, that he was the I Am. And when he spoke these words, they fell backwards onto the ground. Then he said again, then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which was spoken, 'Of them which thou hast given me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, "Put up thy sword unto the sheath, and the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?" Then the band and captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest the same year. Now Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, as so did another disciple, that the disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with the Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou also one that this man's disciples?" And he saith, "I am not." And the servant and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, and it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers that stood by struck Jesus with his palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I had spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Then Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being with the kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see you thee in the garden with him? Peter then again immediately denied again, and immediately the cock crew. We see here that Peter had denied Christ three times. And Jesus had told Peter that he would. In the 13th chapter of this same gospel, we hear about how Jesus foretold that Peter would deny him. Simon began with the 36th verse of the 13th chapter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for me, my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow, till thou hast denied me thrice. But I like what it says in the next verse as he continues in the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise that is to us tonight. He speaks to us even this evening. Let not your heart be troubled. Here Peter, he told Peter that he would deny him three times before the cock crowed. But what does he say even to Peter after he said that he knew that he would deny him? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. What a blessing that is. What a great promise that is for us. Then we see where Jesus goes before Pilate. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Here we see how that Jesus was brought before Pilate, and how it was at the end here, he says, To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world. For this cause that he went to the cross for you and I, that is the reason that he came into this world, that he would do that for us. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when Jesus had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you at the Passover. Will ye therefore I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then they cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Here, they did not want Jesus to be returned unto them, but they wanted a robber instead. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers pleated a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. This is the punishment that Jesus took on for you and I, that we deserve. He took on the wrath of God. And here the wrath of God was on him that should be on us. It was the wrath of God that God used because of our sin that these things happen unto Jesus. Jesus was innocent without sin. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. And Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and others saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. One of the other Gospels tells about Pilate's wife, how that she had a dream about Jesus, and she told Pilate, Don't have anything to do with this. And when another gospel shows that he washed his hands of anything before the Jews, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it is given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him down in the judgment seat at the place which is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Then Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, which, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And they said therefore to themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lot for it, whose it shall be, and what scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment amongst them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. We see here Jesus was crucified, and there on each side of him was criminals, as we read in other accounts, how the one on one side, Jesus had told them that today you will be with me in paradise. All that he acknowledged Jesus as the Lord. Jesus did this all for you. When we look at that cross, we see Jesus hanging there. We see how he has suffered with that crown of thorns on his head. How that he was beaten. He done it for you. He did it all for you, that you might have your sins forgiven, that the price for your sins was paid on that cross. He shed his blood to the last drop there for you. He suffered the death that we deserved. It truly is a Good Friday, because our redemption was paid for on the cross. That even this evening, we can believe the gospel message that our sins are forgiven. All our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus done on that cross. That he shed his blood for our sins because of his shedding of his blood, and through his name, you can believe this evening that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus paid that price on the cross for you. What a victory it was on Good Friday for us, that our sins were paid for on that cross of Calvary. In our human nature, we don't want to look at that cross. But Jesus there on the cross, the crucifix, because it reminds us of our sin. Somebody had to die for us. We don't want to admit that we have sin. But as we look at the cross, we see that the price was paid for our sins, that it was our sins also that were nailed to that cross. He suffered for you and for me. When Jesus then said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he unto the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. We see here, even on the cross, Jesus fulfilled that fourth commandment, that love your father and mother, obey your mother and father, and love them. Where he took care of his mother as he looked at John, and John took his mother in to his own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled it a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I believe, as Jesus wanted, his mouth was dry. He was human there. He was man there on the cross. He suffered as a man. He suffered the pain as a man. he was thirsty, and they gave him some vinegar to wet his lips. He wet his lips so he could cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." That all could hear that it was finished. The price was paid in full. And we can praise the Lord this evening and cry forth, "It is finished. My sins have been paid for in full by what Christ has done on that center cross of Calvary." So it's not a sad night. It's a joyous night. The victory was won over sin for us, that we can cry forth, "It is finished. The price is paid for my sins." Was not a cry of defeat, but it was a cry of victory. Our Lord did not feel defeated. But he had accomplished what he came onto this to this earth for. I'll try to quickly finish this last chapter so we see everything that went on Good Friday. And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, their bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was not high day, was a high day. Besought Jesus that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear witness, and his record is true, and knows that it was true, and that he might believe. We look at John, First John, the fifth chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by blood, water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear a record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If ye receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness himself. He that believeth not hath made him liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave the Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." We see here, as it speaks of the water and the blood, I believe, as some would say, the water is Jesus' baptism and the blood is what he shed on the cross. And some would say it was the water was baptism and the blood was the Lord's Supper. And he that for these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Again another scripture saith, they shall look on him with their whom they pierced. And after this Joseph Arimath, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, bethought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in its linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray and receive benediction. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this evening on this Good Friday, when our sin debt was paid on that cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Son to pay the price for our sins, that we might have peace, the peace of God, knowing our sins are forgiven, and that we have that hope of eternal life. Oh Father, continue to be with us. Let us never forget the price that was paid for our sins. And as we go to this Sunday, where the glorious resurrection, to that time when Jesus rose from the dead, oh, what a glorious thing that is, that one day we also shall be resurrected. And that is our hope. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Now humble your hearts and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.